Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so we're going to be talking about shining forth Christ to a unique group of people, those that are sitting in darkness. So if you got it, wave your notes. If you have these, did everybody get them? Just about everybody, hopefully. So we're going to read on the notes that I gave you. Matthew 4:13-17. And see what the Lord has in these scriptures for us. Now, we've been commanded to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We are to imitate Jesus Christ, right? And so if you study his life, you can see what you're supposed to do too. We're the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, you know, we follow Christ. Okay. Now, Matthew 4:13-17 says, "And leaving Nazareth, Jesus came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness," Amplified says, "enveloped in the darkness, have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so, what do we see in these scriptures today? Okay. Jesus, leaving Nazareth, came and dwelt in Capernaum. And it says that this group of people in Capernaum, they were from the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali in a region that Isaiah the prophet had said that when the Messiah comes, he's going to come as a light to people that are sitting in darkness. Okay? And so I'm so thankful that Jesus, the light of the world, has made it his mission to go to those that are sitting in darkness. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth. Okay. And he was called a Nazarene. And, being in Nazareth, where he grew up, what were some of the things that Jesus said about Nazareth? Or that we know in scripture says about Nazareth and Jesus? Well, they were offended at him. Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. And the familiarity that Nazareth had with Jesus, they could not see he was the Son of God. And they really got angry when he began to say that the Gentiles could be blessed. And actually that there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, and unto none of those Jewish widows was the prophet sent except to the widow of Zarephath, a foreigner. And then he said to the people of Nazareth, he said, and there were many lepers in Israel in the days of Elisha. But unto none of those Jewish lepers was salvation sent, but to a foreigner, Nahum the Syrian. And because of that, the people of Nazareth, Jesus' hometown friends and neighbors, were so angry, they took him, it says in the Luke account, to the brow of a hill outside the city of Nazareth, and they tried to throw the Son of God to his death, because they just didn't like what he had to say. And here he is, the light of the world, growing up in their hometown. You know, not that they would have known it, because his ministry was not made public until he was baptized in the Jordan River. But after going then through that wilderness experience, 40 days of fasting and being tempted by the devil, Jesus comes back to Nazareth. And the Luke account says they tried to kill him because they didn't like what he had to say. So because of the utter unbelief of the people of Nazareth, you know, Jesus relocates to Capernaum. But really, bigger than that, in fulfillment of the word of God that Jesus would come as a light to those who sat in darkness. And he fulfilled that by going to Capernaum. And, but before we just think, well, that's the Son of God just going to this region. He's Jesus. He's not like me. I want to just take for a moment, tell you the pressure that was on Jesus in leaving Nazareth. First of all, there is a lot of pressure whenever you leave your hometown. Do you know that 60% of people, actually 40% of people never leave their hometown? And 60% live within 50 miles of their hometown. Is that amazing? And if we're talking about people in the world. 40% of planet Earth will never leave their hometown. You know, just you're familiar with what you're, you know, you most people, they like what they're familiar with. Jesus said new things will come, but men will throw away that and say, no, I don't want the new. I prefer the old. And we've got to watch that as Christians, that God is trying to bring us into a new season. And we're just wanting to hold on to what we know. It's a big point, guys. It's a real big point. We have to understand that we have a mission. You know, it's not about our comfort zone. And Nazareth represents, I think, for the Christian, for you and me, our comfort zone. Okay? What we're familiar with. And the pressure of Jesus being the eldest in the family, Joseph, his stepfather, what happened to him? He obviously died. And the responsibility to provide for the family, his family, and that's Mary, four brothers and at least two sisters. So that's eight people. The responsibility would have fallen to Jesus as the eldest in the family to be the provider of that family. And if you don't think that was pressure, you know, to leave that responsibility and go to Capernaum. But Jesus was absolutely committed to doing the will of God. Now, I want you to know, he didn't leave his family destitute when he took off for the ministry in Capernaum. Remember at the cross, in his worst moment of being, you know, becoming the lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, hanging on that cross, bleeding and dying for our sins, he has still the grasp of what's happening to his mother. And he says to John, John, behold your mother. He was able, even in that moment, still to understand, I need to make sure my mom is provided for. Can we just for a moment and just take that and grow up, all of us in here, and say, no matter what I'm doing, I'm going to take care of my family. Can we just ask God for that grace right now and that understanding? So when we talk about Jesus leaving Nazareth, this was kind of a big thing. And then he's leaving the care of Mary, his mother. And Mary had pondered from the very beginning when the angel spoke to her and said, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to conceive God's Son in your womb. And think about that. And it says Mary pondered all this. And then when Zacharias spoke, or Simeon spoke, I guess it was Simeon, and says she pondered these words. And so I just want us to see that, you know, Mary was really completely controlling Jesus, even as a child. And then when Jesus, you know, is 12, they can't find him. What happened? You know, they'd been in Jerusalem for the feast, and then they had left. Mary and Joseph had left, and they couldn't find Jesus. 3 days later, where did they find Jesus? In the temple. And they said, why did you do this to us? And Jesus said, did you not know I had to be about my Father's business? But then the next verse is, and then Jesus submitted himself to his parents' authority. He came, and it really shows us that Jesus lived as a child, as a teenager, as a young man. He lived really with probably an arm's reach of Mary and her control in his life. And he had to break that control of his physical mother, who had really watched him all these years, and moved to Capernaum. So it was such a strange thing that was happening to break away from Nazareth, that when the family of Jesus heard what he was doing in Capernaum, they thought he had lost his mind. His own physical family went to Capernaum to try and bring him home, because they didn't understand fully what was going on. The brothers obviously didn't. The brothers, later in the Gospel of John, you see them almost mocking Jesus. If you really are, you know, who you say you are, then go show yourself. His physical brother. So it's not like Jesus got a whole lot of support, guys. There were some real big obstacles in family and friends and locale to keep Jesus under. How much pressure is working on you today to where you just stay in your comfort zone? Hey, let's just throw some ideas out. How many of you have been bound by fear to try new things? Fear is a huge one, and we might not raise our hand on that, but I guarantee you that fear dominates most people's lives, and that's one of the big reasons why they never try things new. Okay? And so, you know, if we're going to follow in Jesus' footsteps, then we're going to have to rise up out of our comfort zone. And as Dorothy said, step up, step out, and step forward. We cannot allow the same old in our lives to keep us where we are. Because we have a mission. You and I have a mission. And that is to shine brightly for Christ to a lost and dark and dying world. So here on the notes that I have for you, the first thing, if we're going to fulfill the mission of the church, I have here following in the footsteps of Christ, we must do four things. First, we must get ready to go. How many of you, you'd say that I want to leave my comfort zone and do something great for God? I think, do any of you, how many of you actually imagine doing something great? Could I encourage all of you to do that? Imagine that you're doing something great. Okay? See yourself feeding the needy. See yourself preaching the gospel, healing the sick. See yourself casting out devils. See yourself doing the works of Christ. John 14:12, the works that I do, Jesus said, you will do, and greater works than these. But you know, it's going to take more than just in visualizing it, okay? I'm just going to visualize it, and it's going to happen. It's not going to happen that way. You can get a picture of what you're supposed to be doing, but then you got to put, you know, the elbow grease in, or you got to begin to practice, and you got to begin to get to a place where you accept a challenge, that when you're challenged, you don't draw back and get angry. You know, just say, no, I can't do that. And unbelief swallows you up. No, I want us to see today that we need to begin to really get ourselves ready for a great time coming. Amy had been preaching, arise and shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness and gross darkness is in the earth, but the glory of the Lord is shining on you. And then it says, and that kings will come streaming to the rising of your glory. How awesome is that? I just want to say to us today, you know, we are more than saved sinners. If you're here and you're a Christian, you are the body of Jesus Christ. And you have the great privilege of being used by God. And angels stand in wonder and bewilderment at who we are as new creation people. Angels can't get over the fact that God is living inside us. God isn't living in the angels, but Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Godhead is living in every believer. Do we understand and grasp not only the potential that we have as Christians to represent God in the earth, but we don't just represent, as we're more than just an ambassador. We bring Jesus there. Now, it's Nazareth, I want you to grasp this today, represents our comfort zone. What we know. In 2016, we're going to have the unique opportunities to reach people that are sitting in darkness. Now, those sitting in darkness don't have to be in Africa. All of us today know somebody sitting in darkness. Were you one time sitting in darkness? Yes. We were those that were sitting in darkness. But God, by His great grace, 1 Peter I've got it on the notes on the back page, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you, child of God, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It is wrong for us as believers to hide our light under a bushel basket. Matthew tells us that Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And as the light of the world, you got to light the world up. We are supposed to bring that light of the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world. And that world begins maybe even in your own home, at work, the neighbors, by chance, the people we run into everywhere. I would just ask us to be ready. You know, it's not just, you know, raising $3,500 to go to Uganda and for 10 days and somehow you brought the light. And then we come back and we sit in church every day. Every Sunday we hear good messages and we you know, remain as we are. No, we're not remaining as we are. We are the living body of Jesus Christ. And I want Jesus in my life, not Matt's store, but I want Jesus Christ to shine out of me. But I've got to make some preparation if that's going to happen. Because the prophecy in Isaiah that Jesus fulfilled, He left Nazareth and He came to a people that sat in darkness and in the region of the shadow of death. Okay? And the people saw a great light. You know, it's going to take more. What Disney movie was it with the train, you know, that just kept talking to itself? I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Jumbo. Dumbo. Now, what was that movie? All right, enough. I got my stories mixed up. You know, it's good to talk to yourself that, hey, I'm going to shine today. But it's really going to be much more effective if you're alone with Him. Like Moses went to the mountain with God. And what happened? He came down off that mountain experience and His face was shining so brightly, they had to put a veil over His face. An Old Testament experience under the, what 2 Corinthians 3 says, a dispensation of the law, which has a glory, but nothing compared to the New Testament and the very glory of God Himself in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How much should our faces be radiating the love of God to this world? Now, you know, I've had a lot of talks lately with different people and my family, Amy. You know, we're talking about where we are in life. And one of the things that I have learned also is I can be utterly weak and feeble and say there is no way I could pick that up. There's no way I can do that. I'm exhausted. I have no more strength left. And so after 30 years of ministry, I've had moments where I've been out of gas. And when you talk to me about leaving Nazareth and going and shining, I would probably say amen and just turn and want to sit back down. Okay. But the mission of the church is worthy, and He's worthy of my life. And if I find you here today, and this message is just too big to think that I can leave my comfort zone and begin to shine with the brightness of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that He is faithful. What does the Bible say? It says that He will make the weak strong. He will give me a renewed strength to bend a bow of bronze. I don't have any more strength left. We've all carried weights. We've all carried boxes and bags and your muscles cramp up and you say, I can't move another inch. But it's an amazing thing that God can rejuvenate us. He can restore us. He can fill us afresh. We can have a fresh infilling and a fresh strengthening of God. And so I want to encourage all of us today. Yes, the mission of the church is to go and shine to a people without Christ. But you've got to have some real shining. You can't just say like that little train, I'm going to shine. I'm going to shine today. I'm going to shine today. You might not be shining today. You might be all bent up on the inside. You might be twisted. That might be the condition of a lot of us. But the good news is that he does make the crooked places straight. He does rejuvenate. Resurrection power does touch that which is empty, which is feeble. But the biggest problem is that, like the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, the 5 wise knew they had to go buy oil. They knew they needed oil. And so all of us here today, we know that we can't go shine if we're not legitimately shining. And if we can't legitimately shine if we don't have an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, which is a moment by moment abiding in the vine. Because listen, I could abide in the vine today and immediately step out of that relationship and I'll start fumbling all over the place. And God never designed Christianity to be a bunch of do's and don'ts and performance. He designed this miracle of Christianity that Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which now I'm now living or shining, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If there's anything you get from today's message, I'm wanting to inspire us to get out of our comfort zone as we leave 2015 and we go into 2016, that we're going to all be about the mission of the church that's been assigned us to go as the light of the world into dark places, starting with our neighbors, okay? Starting in our family, our friends, our but if we're going to be successful, you know, isn't it amazing how religion turns people off? But Christ never, Jesus never turned anybody off. So we can't go religiously. We can't go just under duty. Although I would like to tell you that. But you won't be all that effective. See, Jesus said, I'm going to go to heaven, and it's good for you that I'm going to go to heaven. Why? Because I'm going to send you a gift. The gift of the Father. And when the gift of the Father comes, he's going to be to you, me, in you, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be me in you. Now, church family, as we prepare to leave Nazareth, our comfort zone, you know, I know that life is busy. I know that, you know, when I say, you know, read 5 more chapters a day, you know, some of you are saying, I can't even get to 5 chapters, much less add 5 chapters. I know the pressures of life. I deal with them. And I want to encourage all of us, if we will step up a commitment in prayer and step out in faith to present yourself to the Lord, spend more time with him, and then begin to step forward out of the comfort zone of what we know, the familiar, God will begin to empower us to do great things. So I guess the second point that I have on is, you know, we got to go to the darkness around us. And that's a practical thing. Do you think that everywhere you go in a day, it's all light? How many of you know that it's not all light? Some of you work, you might be working with the Antichrist, what I've heard. I mean, it's some really tough, some of you guys, where you work, it's hard. You guys are working, some of you are in a really dark place. Well, what the darker the place, what isn't it amazing that a small light can shine powerfully in the darkness? Okay. But here's what I want to challenge us. I don't want us to go as a little candle into the darkness. I want to be the sun shining. Wouldn't that be a great goal to be this radiant? There's been times in my life, I don't want this to sound like I'm bragging, because I've had many more times where people say, what's wrong with you? So I've had many more of those times. So I have had times, though, where I was so radiant with my Lord and so loving Him and so in love with the kingdom of God that I was shining and I didn't even know it. Because I've been with Him. This Moses shined not because he got the Ten Commandments in his hand. He'd been with God 40 days. He was shining because God was on him. And so I want us, and point number three, is that we shine with a legitimate Jesus. That people see in our face the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians, it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest they should see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is described, let me say it again, lest people should, the devil's working to blind people from seeing the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when I'm talking about shining and the light, I'm talking about that we are going forth as the body of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Word of God, with the love of God in our heart, having set us free from fear and unbelief and selfishness. And when I say these words, you and I are going to be 2,000 years old probably and still working on getting rid of self and getting, you know. I'm just saying our whole life, you're not just going to arrive after this message. You're going to be challenged today to let go more of Nazareth and to reach out to Capernaum. To let go of what you know and reach out to what you don't know. Because there are people that are needing you to step out and step forward. Amen? But I can't emphasize enough that you will fail in shining unless you are legitimately shining by a power source that's not your own. Okay? And for those of you that have not been shining, plug in. Plug in. Now, we live in a techno world, and how many of you have smartphones? How many of you, it's your common thought every day, you check how much battery life is left, and then you say, the next thought is, where can I plug in? Well, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, every 15 minutes, he would not make a big show of this, but he would be talking in a conference, and then about every 15 minutes, I'm sorry, about every hour, he would pull aside, if he could, for as much as up to 15 minutes. But people really didn't know that. I mean, he didn't make it like, excuse me, I need to go be with the Lord right now. But he was always stepping aside and just charging up. And this is what he would do. He'd worship the Lord. And he talked to the Lord. And the Lord was his best friend. The Lord was alive to him. It wasn't a burden. It wasn't religious. It was how he lived in him. Acts 17, we live and move and have our being. It's not that we're running into church on Sunday and then getting a message and that's going to help Pastor Matt's message. And by Wednesday, you're out. No, you're going to leave here plugged in and you're going to stay plugged in. But if you realize you're getting low on battery, what do you do? Step aside. Don't let the busyness of the moment or the difficulty of the hour or the temptation of the devil cause you to bow your knee, get mad and say, I ain't doing it anymore. You bow your knee to his lordship and you get recharged. And so I want to shine, but I don't want to go under Christian responsibility. Now, we need to know what our mature people can handle responsibility, right? Who are the ones that don't ever want to hear anything about responsibility? Immature ones, kids. And so we are mature believers in this church. I believe we're at least headed that way. We can take this word. It's our responsibility to make sure that we got something to shine. Okay? And the world's not going to be impressed with religion. Jesus is what they need and what they it says, again, what's the prophecy say? We read it. For the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Just for a moment, let's regress just for a moment and think about when you were in darkness. Have you guys ever been physically in the dark and when somebody came along with a flashlight or a light that all of a sudden it changed everything, you were relieved because you saw the way out? Have you been in the, you know, I remember when I was about 8 years old, my twin brother and I went camping with my older brother. This was the first time we'd ever gone camping. And we were camping out in the woods. Now, our property butted up against the United States Federal Penitentiary in Terre Haute. So it wasn't like, you know, we went camping in our backyard, although numerous times we had escaped convicts running through our backyard. At least two that I know of for sure, maybe three or four, and as they were escaping from the penitentiary. So here I am. My twin brother and I are 8 years old. Now, where we live, we have wild pigs, too, okay, in that area. And so, but Pete, our big brother, he's going to take care of us, okay? He said to Mom and Dad, I'm taking the twins. We're going to go camping. And everybody was excited. The twins are going to get their first, you know, experience of being grown up and going out on our own camping. 8 years old, you know. We were so excited. And we got there. I don't even think we had the sleeping bags thrown down on the ground when Pete says, I'll be back. Well, he came back about, you know, 5:36 in the morning. You know, he stayed out all night with his friends and partied. So Mark and I are 8 years old. We're in the woods next to United States. We can out there, and we begin to hear these wild pigs. Now Mark and I, we thought we were tough, but we got exposed right there. We were hugging each other in the sleeping bag. Yeah. But I remember how dark it was, and in the dark, sounds can really freak you out. In the light, they don't. You know, in the light, sounds don't freak you out. But when you're in the dark, sounds freak you out. I mean, that was Godzilla coming up. You know, the little teeny little, you know, wild piglet making some little grunting sound. I'm thinking it's Godzilla. You know, but again, I want to say that we all have experiences in the dark and how uncomfortable it is to live in the dark. You got to understand that we have been taken out of the darkness, that we might show forth His marvelous light to a world that have not yet experienced this. So it is the responsibility for one who's received mercy to show mercy. And the mercy of God came to Matt Storr. I'm now, what Paul said in Romans 1, I'm now in debt. I'm a debtor to all men, he said, to the Jew and to the Gentile. I mean, do you not feel some responsibility to share the living Savior, the one that saved your soul? Will you not in 2016 make the decision to cut ties with the familiar and to step out in faith and begin with that beautiful relationship that you've developed, begin to shine for a people that need to see the light? It's so important. I guess today's message is, let's be full of Jesus and go shine. We can, every one of us. He's waiting to fill us afresh. He's waiting to. Now, how many of you drink energy drinks? There's a few that drink energy drinks. And I guess there's a reason to drink an energy drink, right? Why? Our former administrator, Vic Warner, he used to get, you know, coffee, but whatever it was mud, but he'd get four shots. What is that? Four shots. And so he'd come back, he'd be dragging after that cup with four shots. He'd be sitting there amped up. I'd walk in, he'd be with his pencil hitting the desk and, you know. And so I want you to think about this and take it to heart. In the natural, you can do some things to get you amped. Well, spiritually, you can do some things that will get you amped. It will get you full of joy. And where then when it says, You know, because you're just loving Jesus. He's real to you. He's the resurrected Lord, the King of Kings. He's my Savior. He's the lover of my soul. My relationship is precious. It's growing. I've heard His voice today. Like in the Song of Solomon, I hear Him saying, come away, my beloved. Come with me. I want to show you something. I'm the maker of the universe. I'm your creator. And your Redeemer, and your Savior, and I know the end from the beginning, and I want to bless you with things your eye has not seen, or your ear has not heard. Neither have entered into your heart. It doesn't have to be the same old routine. It doesn't have to be three scriptures and a poem. It doesn't have to be an hour of a church, and then we walk away, we try to be a better person. No, what can happen is that we can be filled with Him. That we can be filled with Him. I remember these days when Amy and I were dating. I almost said courting. I've never said that in my life. Courting. But Amy and I were dating, and I remember that I would be, say goodbye to her, and I'd go back to work. We'd go have lunch together, and I could smell Amy's lotion a unique lotion she would put on. I could smell it on me. Because I had my arm around her, I was hugging her, we were close. It wasn't like Amy sat on the other side of the room and then I love you, but just keep an arm's length. No, you and when you're in love, you want to be close. And Jesus wants, He is so in love with us. Song of Solomon 4, one glance of your eyes makes my heart beat faster and faster. Who said that? Well, if you understand the book of Song of Solomon, that's Jesus saying to the church, I'm so in love with you. I so want you. I so want to be with you. You're mine. I died for you. And so the challenge is we live in 2015. Don't stay in Nazareth with the level of Jesus that you know. Leave Nazareth with the smell of Christ all over you. And start walking. We, as Christians, we ought to have our hands on something dead every day. When was the last time you touched something dead? I didn't want to do this. But I get a phone call and I got a marriage that's going to end. Unless they get help right now. Okay? About a year and a half ago. They don't go to the church. Although I know who they are and have known them for many years. The compassion of Christ hit me so beautifully in that moment as I was talking to that wife. And I began to pour out words I didn't even know existed. And then I got my hands on the husband a couple days later. And the compassion of Christ swelled up. And there was such a presence of God that saved that marriage. It had nothing to do with Matt Storr except my willingness to accept and to go. Because everything that came out was legitimately Jesus and not, this is what you're supposed to do. That was a beautiful time. I left there so excited, so alive. You remember Jesus said, I have, he was exhausted from the journey, it says in John 4. And he sent the disciples to go get food. And then he begins to get that encounter with the woman at the well, and he begins to shine forth. Even though he's tired physically, he's shining forth. And the woman gets saved and goes back to the village, and the village gets saved on her testimony. She's now shining. Isn't that beautiful? But when the disciples came back, they said, I can't remember exactly, but it's like they, Jesus, who are you talking to? A woman here at the well? And Jesus said, oh, guys, I have meat that you know not of. When we leave Nazareth, ministry was over for Jesus in Nazareth. They'd rejected him. He didn't get mad and give up. He reached forth, prophetically fulfilling the word of God out of Isaiah, to a people that sat in darkness, and to those in the region of the shadow of death, they saw a great light. That same Jesus is asking for you to give him permission. He's asking the Christians to allow our bodies to become truly the body of Christ. And to go with him and allow Jesus to shine. You will always find the right answer when you're bringing Jesus. If you bring Jesus, you're not going to fail. But if you bring yourself and that little train song, I think I can, I think I'm going to shine, I'm going to shine, I'm going to shine. There's nobody in this room that believes in confession more than I do. It could change everything. You need to get your prayer closet and confess, I'm going to shine. Today I'm shining. I'm going to shine because your experience usually will match up with the words you're saying. But when I'm wanting it to be more than your confession. I'm wanting it to be that you're plugging in to the Lord Jesus. And you're shining. And then the last thought, and I'm only going to give 60 seconds to this. The last thing that Jesus did, he began to preach. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Do you know, when I think about how I came to Christ, I hated the message that night in the church service. But what got me was when the guy started talking that my sins would be forgiven. Because the one thing I knew, I had a lot of them, a lot of sin. And I knew I wasn't right with God. And so when I heard that there was forgiveness, I immediately was all in on that. I wanted forgiveness. Don't underestimate the power of telling people your testimony and how God saved you and forgave you and cleansed you. And he'll do the same thing for you. He will forgive your sins. That's so powerful. What did Jesus preach? The most basic thing to bring in people that are sitting in darkness to the light of God is I'm here. They see a great light. They see me doing the works of God. Then he began to preach to them. You need to have a change of heart. And you need to come. Let me bring you to the Father, but you got to let go of that. Give up, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. He said, stand on your feet. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now listen, 2015 is over. We're headed into 2016. Is there anyone here today? You said I maxed out in 2015. What I could bear fruit for the King? How many of you would like to bear more fruit for the King in 2016? Then you acknowledge today that the greater one lives in you. And you get along with God. And you get the power. And you shine. You shine. And God is going to touch you. If you will make this decision today. Not to leave here. And forget this message. It's not the greatest message ever preached. But I'm going to tell you. It's meat and potatoes of the church. And the mission of the church is to leave the comfort zone and go and proclaim a Savior that is great and awesome and mighty. How many of you, that is your heart today to do that? Now, there's many spheres and levels. We'll probably be going on a missions trip back to Africa this year coming up. Maybe with Brian Jordan in Cape Town, South Africa. I think so. We might go to Uganda. We're hearing from Uganda just this week. So those things are going to happen. But what do you say that those that are in our life, we reach them with acts of kindness? How many of you think you do an act of kindness and be good and bring goodness to somebody? That you could open your eyes and see that person looks like they're struggling. That person looks like they're suffering. That person looks like they need a good word of encouragement. And just do that. But a lot of it in 2016. That I'm not going to bring me into that darkness. I'm bringing Jesus and me. into that darkness. Heavenly Father, today as we leave this room, our sanctuary today, we thank you for your great love. And Lord, together we are the light of the world, and we're going to light up the world. We're the light, we're the day, we're not of the night. And we're going to do our part to shine and fulfill the Christmas message. Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent the light of the world into the world, that his life would be the light of men. And now we take that light ourselves, that life, and now we light up our world. Lord, bless the River Church today. I bless each and every one of you. I say strength to you. The love of God fill your heart. Drive out everything that is not of him. And that you are filled with the precious Holy Spirit. And you're going to go forth and shine brightly with the Lord Jesus and his love. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a hug.